from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Evan Giddings, Jason Dumas, Carter Chickering on the ones and twos behind the glass here at 95.7 The Game. Halfway home, taking you up until 4 o'clock on a beautiful Friday. Hope everyone's having a nice, I feel like there's certain holidays or even sports days, like the day after the Super Bowl, Jay. Not that they should be holidays, but it's just kind of an understood recovery day for everybody. Like, even if you're in the office, everyone knows that we're all dragging.
Right. Now, I mean, we work in sports media, sports journalism, so we know how, like,
yay,
the radio or holidays don't mean anything to the radio and TV.
It's like, time and a half.
There's going to be newscasts on today on Crown 4. There's going to be radio shows on 95.7 The Game. So for us, it never matters. But are most people off today who work normal, regular jobs? I don't even know.
I think a lot of my friends work today because you can get time and a half in some spots. It was funny. So, like, after the show yesterday, me and Carter were, just popped by the old watering hole. And
Which one? You want to say it on air?
Old Ship. Okay. Yeah. Shout out Old Ship Saloon.
I love that place.
Yeah, we were talking about the place yesterday.
Yeah, right down the street from Crown 4, too.
Yeah. Fantastic setup.
Where I also work. Yeah.
By the way, it used to be the USS Arkansas back in the 1800s when San Francisco had a water line in Montgomery, neither here nor there.
Their kitchen opened. One of the reasons I like them is because their kitchen stays open pretty late. I don't, like I told you, I don't get out Crown until 11:30.
Yeah.
And they'll usually be closing right as I get there. So if I know I'm going to go there, even like I might call them at like 11:15 and be like, hey, I'm getting out of work in like 15 minutes. Can you put this order in for me? And usually when I get there, it's ready. Most places are closed by like at least 10. So when I'm getting out at 11:30, their kitchen is usually still open.
Well, and that's why we were talking, because we were wondering yesterday, like, okay, well, where's open? Carter's like, bars. There's not a lot of bars that are, number one, open, but also that, to your point, Jay, serve food up until like midnight.
Right.
There, I think most of the spots are like, there'll be some nice restaurants. Shout out to, I think it's called the Boar's Head down in the marina. Like, they serve food until like 1 a.m.
Yeah, they're like, that place is always crowded.
Yeah.
That place is always crowded.
I got to eat there the other week. It was fantastic.
I've still never been. I hear good things. But yeah, they serve dinner late.
Yeah, and there's just not a lot of spots that are open, especially down near the water here. I feel like a lot of spots kind of close up. So, I mean, basically, if you're in the city and you're working today and you're listening, Good for you. We appreciate you. Because a lot of people were out last night. You know, the shenanigans, all the hooligans that were out and about. The city goes up on 4th of July. And I just hope that everyone was safe, had a good time, and enjoyed it. And I feel like, you know, in regards to the Warriors, you know, we've kind of gone down the trade rabbit holes. Tony Jones was kind enough to join us from The Athletic and maybe poo-poo a little bit the Lowry Markkanen trade a little bit. But he also mentioned something, Jay, that I thought was fascinating, because the Franz Wagner news comes out today from Woj that he's basically extending with the Orlando Magic, 5 years, $224 million, could be worth up to $270, but he's essentially a $200 million player right now. And he was taken one spot after Jonathan Kuminga. Kuminga and his careers have gone in different directions just because of basically placement. And the one thing that Tony mentioned that I completely agree with is if you're a team that's looking at Jonathan Kuminga, you're probably also considering the fact that you might have to pay him $200 million. And I think right now, if you see that news this morning and you're Jonathan Kuminga, I think JK sees himself as a $200 million player right now.
He said, hell yeah, when he saw that contract drop down. And I know he's seen it.
Oh, yeah. And he's probably salivating. Now, I don't know if the Warriors are happy about it. And I personally don't think that Jonathan Kuminga is a $200 million player at this point in his career. But the market might dictate that he is. You know, we've been tossing around all these numbers with quarterbacks in the NFL. If the market says you're a $50 million quarterback, you're a $50 million quarterback. And right now, with the way that things are trending in the NBA, the explosion of the new media money that's flooding in at a ridiculous rate, the cap is going up 10% a year for the next, you know, foreseeable seasons. Jonathan Kuminga has every right to think he is a $200 million player. And the question is, do the Warriors, and are they willing to give it to him this summer? So I'm going to pose that also to the fans before we jump into it. 888-957-9570. Is Jonathan Kuminga a $200 million player right now?
I mean, I guess I'll say to that, no matter what you think, the market is the market, and someone's probably going to pay it. So whether you think he should be or not is probably irrelevant. Because he's probably going to get that if it's not from the Warriors, especially if he has another year like he had last year and even a little better, which you would probably think he's going to continue to ascend upwards. So, yeah, you know, I think he is. I mean, he's going to get that money from someone. I don't think the Warriors are going to give it to him right now. They don't have to be in a rush. They're probably going to hang out, let him play out the year, and then enter restricted free agency, or maybe sign him right before restricted free agency starts. But I don't think they're in a position where they want to pay it to him this offseason. Why would they?
No, and if he wants $200 million, I do think, yeah, people are already chiming in. No way, no chance Jonathan Kuminga is a $200 million player. But again, if the market says that he is, he might be. You know, I think the names to keep an eye on, again, like Cade Cunningham's been maxed out by the Pistons. I can totally understand why they'd want to pay him 5 years, $224 million. Scotty Barnes also received a rookie max that's up to $270, basically same deal as Franz Wagner. I think that, like, if Jonathan Kuminga had played 231 games and started all of them, I think we might be thinking about him as a $200 million player. The issue is that he's only started 74 games in his career. Now, he didn't play in college at Michigan like Franz Wagner did. You know, he might not have been as pro-ready to begin 2021-22 as Franz Wagner was. And some people, I think, maybe the first two seasons were saying, you know, why didn't the Warriors take Wagner? You know, why didn't they take him over Kuminga? But if you're talking about projectability, you're talking about the future.
They liked him. They also liked Giddy. Thinking back to that draft, I remember doing my report.
And Giddy went right before Kuminga.
Yeah. I actually think, like, that's who they wanted to pick.
Giddy?
Yeah. Yeah. If I remember correctly, I was knee deep in draft research, making the rounds, calling people, talking to people. I even had Josh Giddey on Crown 4 during that draft process. Mm. I had him come on like a week before the draft. I just hit him up. I was like, yo, I'm hearing that the Warriors are interested in you. would you like to come on Crown Four? And he got back to me. I interviewed a couple guys before that draft. It was a that was a fun draft process to cover them, knowing the Warriors had two lottery picks. But yeah, I mean,
there was even some discussion, right, of potentially Moody being at number seven, right?
Yeah, they liked Moody. That's why I can't. That's why it's still kind of a head scratcher how he's been used the past couple of years. Moody just projects as a good, like, he is a wing that can shoot and can guard and hustles. Like, I just don't know why Moody doesn't have a more solidified role. That will be the hill I die on forever. I've been saying it since his rookie year. I'm a huge Moses Moody fan.
I like Moses, too. The thing that gives me hesitation is just his three ball so far. Although last year was kind of... Like he's about a league average 3-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
I think if he shot it a little bit better, he'd be able to get more minutes. Just because I don't know. I think he's an all around good player. It's similar to like Kuminga's got a gift and it's athleticism. You know, I'm not sure if there's one thing that Moses Moody right now hangs his hat on. And because the Warriors again just have a log jam of wings, you know, you can kind of point to something that each of them in front of Moses does or adds. You know, Wiggins is the complicated one because ideally he had something, but he hasn't been able to do it consistently enough. But we've seen it before. Kuminga, his gift is athleticism. GP2 is a very good defensive player. Even Lenny Waters III can shoot the basketball.
Right.
You know, I think the issue is that Moses doesn't have a calling card right now. And while those players are good, he's just right now stuck in the middle. And what I want to see this summer, and one of the reasons why I've been on the Trey Wiggins wagon is because I just think that there needs to be more of a path cleared for players like Moody. And even I think also moving off of Wiggins would clear more of a path for someone like Kuminga.
Right, 100%. You know, look, your best ability is your availability, and Wiggins has not been reliable for 2 years, simply put. And even when he's played, he hasn't been great. He's actually, for some stretches, he's been bad. So that's all I got about Andrew Wiggins. And he went from having what looked to be a good contract right after that championship, the deal he got, Looked like it was going to be a good contract. All of a sudden, that contract was lousy.
Yeah. No, it does not look good whatsoever. I was on the air that day, and I was ecstatic.
When he signed it?
Yeah. I mean, it looked like he was taking a pay cut. He was just coming off probably the best stretch of basketball he's played in his entire life.
Not probably. Objectively.
Yeah.
No, objectively, he was incredible. He was playing.
He was
not
incredible.
From a scoring standpoint, but just the two-way impact he had on a championship-winning team. There was no doubt that was the best stretch of basketball he's ever played.
I mean, yeah, he did everything that he doesn't do consistently enough now. And it wasn't just the scoring either, and it wasn't even just the quote point of attack defense. Like he had like a 16 rebound game in the finals. I mean, he was averaging nearly 10 rebounds per game in the Western Conference Finals.
Remember when he dunked on Luka?
Yes.
Dude, I was
in the, we were both in the building.
You were down there in Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was standing in the tunnel at that point, just looking, and I had the best angle of that. The ref killed it. The ref ruined that moment because the ref called a charge. They had to challenge it and get it taken back, but he ruined that moment in real time. I hated him for that. That damn ref.
Because like, it was incredible.
Yeah, I'm like, how are you going to call a charge there, you loser?
Well, the picture...
Are you pretty serious?
Yeah, the picture says a lot.
Was that? Was that me? Are you serious? Oh, nice. Sweet.
Oh yeah.
I got my own drop yesterday. Got my own drop.
False alarm.
Mama, I made it.
888-957-9570 is the number. We're talking about the logjam of wings right now for the Golden State Warriors. But again, it all comes back to the fact that I think Jonathan Kuminga right now believes he's a $200 million player. And it's because of the guy that he is constantly compared to that his career is sort of aligned with because they were separated by one pick in the draft. Franz Wagner just got a 224 rookie max extension from the Orlando Magic. Is it fair for Kuminga to think of himself that way? What do the Warriors do about it? What direction do they move in with Kuminga, who I think right now is probably going to ask for an extension this summer, and the Warriors are going to have to figure out whether they want to give it to him or whether they ask him to test restricted free agency next offseason. 888-957-9570 is the number. Jason Dumas and Evan Giddings with you on 95.7 The Game. Let's get out to Berkeley. Talk to one of our beloved P1s. What's up, Shaka? Shaka, how you doing, man?
Man, what's up, man? What's up, Evan? What's up, Dumas? Man,
what's up, man?
I love y'all energy, man. I love y'all energy and honesty, man. Hey, I think he's worth what the market is value. If he's up, I mean, that's going to make him have to play. You mean right now he can sign a $200 million contract, or you talking about next offseason?
He can do it today.
Yeah, exactly. He can do it
if it's offered.
The next 3 minutes.
Wow. Okay, well, I'm rooting for the young man. I think this is going to be his thing. I was talking about Wiggins when y'all were talking about Wiggins, man. Do you remember when he destroyed the Boston Celtics and we was just like so happy that we had him? Yeah. I just think this year might be a turnaround for him. Everybody's kind of like, he wasn't available. So we're down. Everybody's down on him because he wasn't available. He has some personal things going on. Let's see if we get 100% of the real Wiggins that we got in the playoffs. That team would be really with Buddy Hill, Steph, Kuminga, you know, that would be a fantastic team. And we're not really thinking about that right now. Everybody's kind of down on him because he wasn't available. And that's understanding. But I think that we could have a great year if Wiggins played great ball, man.
I mean, I agree, but
I hope he does.
Warriors could have a great year if a lot of people had a great season. You just have to think about the likelihood of it.
Yeah.
It hasn't been trending that way for 2 years.
Well, that's why, again, I could envision Kuminga taking an equally large leap as he did from year two to year three to year four. That'd be awesome. But I could also see him kind of just leveling out a little bit. Like, everything is on the table for Kuminga, and I think that's why he's a valuable trade ship, number one, but I think why also teams are a little afraid of him. And again, we heard from Tony Jones earlier, who covers the Utah Jazz and Denver Nuggets for The Athletic. He's very tapped in. I think that's the other angle of this. If you're a team that is trading with the Warriors, it's not just as simple as, well, give us Kuminga, because that's certainly going to be asked for. But then you also have to ask yourself as an organization, do we potentially want to pay Jonathan Kuminga $200 million?
Mm-hmm.
And I could understand why a lot of teams would be afraid to do that, which deflates his value. So I think that's why, you know, the market in trade right now, why the Warriors are probably incentivized to lean more heavily into picks, like why teams would want picks from the Warriors as opposed to just Kuminga or a package centered around Kuminga, because there's nothing right now that makes you know what he's going to be. There's just simply the potential of it. And that's really, I think, what also the Warriors are banking on. Like, they're banking on the fact that he could skyrocket and his talent could take over.
Yeah. I mean, you see the flashes. Like, he's able. What did Kuminga average last year? Like 17 points per game, right?
Yep.
Averaged around 17 points per game last year. And I don't think he's that highly skilled. Like, he's scoring 17 points per game by accident. Wait till some of those skills get honed in on and he develops.
And he didn't even really start starting until December.
Right. So the sky's the limit for the guy. I mean, I've told this story so many times. I went out to Walnut Creek to see Jalen Green play. And
Rockets.
Now he's on the Houston Rockets, but this is when he played for the G League Ignite. I go out there to see Jalen Green practice, and I have an interview set up with Jalen Green. And I'm sitting watching. And all of a sudden, I see this other guy who I had never heard of, which didn't mean anything. It wasn't like, oh, I've never heard of this guy. I wasn't really paying attention to the G League Ignite roster. And I wasn't really paying attention to all the prospects in, you know, the high school class that came right before that. But I just see this guy just running up and down the court, dunking on people, chase down blocks. Head and shoulders looked like the best player on the floor. And Jalen Green was there. I lean over to their media media rep. I'm like, who is that? She was like, oh, that's Jonathan Kuminga. He's going to be another lottery pick.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. And ever since that day, I came up to their practice about 3-4 more times, and I saw similar things. So I was not shocked when he went 7th overall. He's very talented. He is very talented.
I remember reading that he might have even fallen a little bit.
Oh, he did. He did. He was like the number top three player in that class for a while. And it's funny because, like I said, he averaged 17 points per game, and I don't even think he really knows how to play basketball yet. And that is not an insult. That's actually a compliment that you can be a 17-point-per-game scorer and not truly know how to play basketball and manipulate the game to the best of your abilities. Like Steph Curry, and I'm not saying Jonathan Kuminga is ever going to be Steph Curry, but Steph Curry manipulates the game of basketball.
Yes.
He knows how to play. He knows how to make the game easy for himself. Jonathan Kuminga does not know how to do that yet. Once he figures that out, and once he gets to his spots and can do it efficiently and knows his strengths better, knows his weaknesses better, he's oozing with potential. So I see the vision. Like, if Joe Lacob loves him as much as everyone says he does, like, I get it. Steve Kerr, you know, probably Steve Kerr probably has to come around a little more. Jonathan's had like a short leash. I mean, he kind of broke out of it last year, but it also took him going to the San Francisco Chronicle. It also took the people around him going to the Athletic. But yeah, he broke out. It doesn't really matter how now at this point. He did. He broke off that leash and kind of got free rein. So don't get me wrong. If he's on the roster next year because the Warriors couldn't include him in a bigger fish, some people will be disappointed, and I see that line of thinking. But I also see the line of thinking of, we have a talented player here. Let's develop him. It's just the people who want to maximize Steph's prime. They're probably going to take exception with that.
And that's kind of the elephant in the room, right?
That is what everybody is really arguing about.
Yeah,
maximize Steph's prime.
Yeah,
or develop Kuminga. Then you'll have a semblance of people who'll be like, you can do both.
And I think it's hard to do both. Like, for example, the guy that he's constantly compared to, and you brought it up yesterday, I agree, Jaylen Brown. You know, Jaylen Brown didn't become a 20-point-per-game scorer until he was 23 years old. I think it was his fourth year in the league. And he had a year of college under his belt, which mm-hmm. Kuminga has not. So, yeah, like, you're probably going to have to wait a couple more years. And maybe most importantly, you're going to have to pay to find out. Like, it's not just like you got to stay at the table. Like, if this is a poker game, you got to pay to see the turn. Mm-hmm. Like, you might even have to pay to see the river just to figure out, because you got pocket aces potentially, but you don't know if someone else is holding a better hand.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be the debate until Steph Curry is not in his prime anymore. It really is. Unless they make a move, it's just, We get this at the end of every good player's career. And we're not at the end of his career, but you know what I'm saying. Once we hit the stretch run of a career, we're in the stretch run of Steph Curry's career. I'd say he has about 3 more all NBA seasons left.
I'd hope so.
You know? And
which also would be defying a lot of age.
100%. But I think
he's Curry.
I mean, his game isn't based on, like, athleticism. You know what I mean? Where it's like, once somebody's body stops performing that way, above the rim, or attacking, slashing, it's going to fall off. Steph can probably average 20 points per game without even touching the paint. You know what I mean? So I think his game is going to age gracefully.
I mean, assuming he's also got space to do it. And, yeah again, what we're talking about now is the impact that Franz Wagner's max rookie contract extension has on Jonathan Kuminga. And a lot of people are in agreement. I'm not saying Kuminga's a $40 million player. I just think the Warriors might pay him to find out, or they might be forced to pay him to find out. This is from the 415. You're not going to give $40 million to a player that you hope still gets better. Come on.
It just happened to Franz Wagner, no?
I mean, Wagner's more solidified, I'd say.
But he's not a $40 million player right now. Not in my opinion.
No.
You hope he's young and he's going to keep getting better. And eventually that tab will be what you do. But it's
interesting. Like, I feel like we've seen close to the ceiling of Franz Wagner already.
Well, then
he started 250 games in the NBA.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, look, $40 million a year to a guy who's not making all NBA teams, that's a hefty tab to me. So, yeah, but objectively, like, you do give $40 million a year to people you hope get better. It happens all the time.
Yeah, and so we're talking about, again, the impact of that on what Jonathan Kuminga perceives about himself, what it says about the market, and what it also might do to his trade value. If the Warriors are trying to move him, there's been reports conflicting, but there's been reports that he was involved potentially in the Clippers deal. He might be involved in a package that's trying to be put together for Lauri Markkanen. He could be in a package, let's say, for perhaps Brandon Ingram. How is the league viewing Jonathan Kuminga? How does the Warriors view Jonathan Kuminga? And how do you view Jonathan Kuminga? Is it as a $200 million player? Is that something you'd be willing to pay to find out about his potential? Or is it simply too much and you try to move off of him right now? 888-957-9570 is the number. That's Jason Dumas. My name is Evan Giddings. As we move forward here on 95.7 The Game, we're taking your calls on the other side. 888-957-9570. We're back after this on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Evan Giddings alongside Jason Dumas with you here on 95.7 The Game. 90 minutes left, 12 to 4 here. Big thank you to Carter Chickering as well, producing this bad boy. And Jay, just kind of digging into this whole idea of the value of Jonathan Kuminga. Because the market is saying one thing, a lot of people, I think ourselves included, kind of feel another at this point. And I'm sure the Warriors are also trying to figure out exactly where they fall, having seen that Franz Wagner, who was taken one selection after JK, is now going to be making $40 million per year as of next season, or in 2 years, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we know what the Warriors page they're on. They're not going to do anything until they have to. That's usually just how they operate. I mean, wasn't that Jordan Poole deal his rookie extension too?
Yes, but they did it a year before they had to. Yeah. I mean, they could have asked him to test restricted free agency.
But they didn't. Same
with Wiggins. And I think that you bring up, I think that's kind of the reason why I almost believe that they'll make him test restricted free agencies.
Because of Jordan Poole. Yeah. Yeah. At the time, the Jordan Poole contract looked fine. I mean, they were able to get out from under it. It's just a shame Jordan Poole didn't work out, because in that championship season, he was so good. He was so good. We know some of the reasons why it didn't work out. Some were his fault, some weren't. Obviously, it wasn't his fault. He got punched in the face. That should never happen. In that setting, it should never happen. Someone getting punched in the face. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's just a shame. He was a homegrown player. He overcame so much. And boom. Confidence kind of gone. Plays up and down. Because some of his play that last year on Golden State was brutal. Him along with Klay Thompson were terrible against the Lakers in that playoff series that they lost in 6 games. Outplayed by Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell.
Lonnie Walker.
Shout out Lonnie Walker. He's a Pennsylvania guy near Philly, not from Philly.
Reading, right?
Yeah, Reading, PA. What you know about Reading? Some of that minor league baseball out there?
I've taken a couple trips to Reading.
Okay.
And actually, the Reading nightlife, a little bit better than advertised. I'm not going to lie.
Can't say I've ever experienced Reading nightlife.
Nor necessarily should you, but, you know, if you're staying there for 4 nights, you got to find something to do.
100%. I'm sure they have a couple local watering holes out there.
They're kind of to the fighting Phils and anybody that's in town to play them.
Yeah, I understand. But, yeah, back to my point. It's just a shame that it didn't work out with Jordan Poole. I mean, you brought him up. in relation to Jonathan Kuminga and that rookie extension and why you would or wouldn't extend Jonathan Kuminga right now. The Poole argument says, wait, because they extended Poole a year before they had to. It ended up not being a great deal. I enjoyed covering Jordan Poole, and I thought the Warriors really had something in him. And I mean, they did have something in him. What do you mean they thought? He was one of the best players on the championship team.
And he was the best player in that first round series against Denver.
Yeah, that series. That was
his first round series, but still.
Was that the series where Steph came off the bench like the first three games?
Yes, because he was coming back from injury, and Poole had he had some stat line that, you know, like had never been posted before. It was like 25 points per game on, you know, 50% shooting from three in a player's first four playoff games or something like that. But he was electric.
Electric. Steph willing to come off the bench. Draymond willing to come off the bench. It stops there. Stops there. Someone wasn't. And yeah. It caused a lot of issues, but that's a whole nother point. It's a whole nother topic. We've gone over it, and everybody knows what's been said by myself and many reputable reporters here in the Bay Area.
Yeah, can't wait for the 30 for 30, basically. Right. It's gonna be great. In fact, it might be. I've been like rewatching The Last Dance, and I'm just envisioning how the Warriors will play out. It is, in my opinion, I know the Bulls won six, and Michael Jordan is as big of a figure as there's ever been in NBA history, but the Warriors dynasty, Doc, I think is gonna be, it's gonna top them all. Might be a little bit biased, but it is just the amount of things that happen.
Let's take out Steph.
Okay.
Steph, Draymond, and Kerr. Who are the main characters in it? Like, does KD have as big as a role in storylines in that doc as like Klay Thompson? Or like how do you think the hierarchy goes? Obviously Steph and Draymond 1 and 2, and Kerr is probably like right there too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think Durant has to be. I mean, we talked about this yesterday.
It's not a dynasty without Durant.
On the 8-year anniversary of them signing Kevin Durant. Yeah, it became a dynasty that day. Now, the Warriors might have been able to, you know, run it back and win a championship or multiple without him.
Would have been way harder.
But yeah, exactly. Like the moment that, the moment he came here, it was a foregone conclusion. Like it was a joke.
Because if they play, look, I think them and Cleveland go back to the finals the year after. And I don't think Golden State would have been a overwhelming favorite. I think it would have been a 50-50 coin flip. I think Cleveland got a semblance of confidence after coming back and beating them 3-1 that I think it would have been a good series. I don't know who would have won it. I really don't. And then they got Kevin Durant. And
well, it also elevated that team into a stratosphere that is up there with any other starting five.
Rock stars.
Ever.
You've heard the series every single road game. They get to their hotel. It's just mobs outside. They needed higher, more security. Yeah, that's going to be an amazing, amazing documentary.
And of course, now we're talking about sort of the tail end of it, right? You know, we don't know how much longer, if you still think the dynasty is going, we don't know how much longer.
I think it's over. And that's not me saying I don't think they can win another championship with Steph. I do. If they surround him with the right people.
If they do win another one, though, you have to consider the dynasty continued, right? I mean, we'd call the Spurs dynasty a dynasty, and it happened it went from 1999 until 2014.
But it happened with the same characters.
Well, there were interchangeable parts, though.
But they still had...
Like, Manu and Tony Parker weren't on the first one. It was David Robinson.
That's true.
I mean, the constant was Tim Duncan.
That's true.
So the constant would be Steph Curry.
Got it. Yeah, that's true. I just feel
and maybe Draymond.
It just feels like a championship without Klay on the roster. It's like if the Warriors win in the next 3 years without Klay on the roster, I just almost like I view it. I get your point, and you're actually probably right. But it's just the way I view it is that's a different chapter. That's not that dynasty is over as soon as Klay Thompson stepped out the building. That's what I thought. Because like when I think dynasty, I think Steve, Steph, Klay, Dre. I know Durant helped. But Durant was like a little bridge in the middle. I just can't. Yeah, it would be. I mean, it would be amazing. Then I guess you're right. Steph is the dynasty.
I mean, it starts and ends with 30. I think we did. And that, well, again, that's why we're talking about who can the Warriors get? How can they go out and get a big fish? It is as much about competing and winning championships as it is about, dude, we got to go all in for this guy. Like we got to do everything possible for Steph, because it feels like he's taken a dynasty, or not a dynasty, but a franchise that was dormant to a dynasty. And that's part of it as well. Like Warriors fans haven't known, at least, you know, a lot of people my age don't know anything good about basketball. And many Warriors fans haven't since the 70s.
I mean, let's put it this way. The most memorable modern Warriors teams before Steph was an 8 seed. We believe, like, they were an 8 seed at the end of the day. The team wasn't that good.
Even when they were coming up, like I remember when I had my fan hat on, I remember 2013. It was the year that Steph Curry got like his first MVP vote. And it was, I don't know, it was like fifth place or something. And I was so happy that he got one MVP vote. And now looking back, I was like, you're an idiot. Like, why would you ever celebrate that? But at the time, it was huge. I mean, so I think that's where a lot of people also come from. And they're trying to figure out, you know, how much longer they can keep this thing going. I think that the dynasty would continue if they won a championship, however bleak that looks. But I also think that it is a different era now. Like the fact that you don't have the big three together, to your point, Jason, does signify a different era of Warriors basketball. Because anytime you have a player that's been on a team for 13 seasons, it's going to feel different. You know, like when we go cover games next year, there's going to be a void. Now, it might be something that is productive and it might help in certain ways, but it's going to be weird with Klay Thompson not walking to the podium after games next season.
Begrudgingly walking to the podium.
Depends on the night. Depends on the night.
It'll be weird for sure. But look, I mean, like you said, it starts and ends with 30. So honestly, it won't be that weird to me. If Steph wasn't there, I think it would have been weirder without Draymond, because Draymond is more of a voice. Draymond is the one who is a little more active with the media, a little more vocal, a little better at communicating his points. I always look forward to meeting the new guys. So I enjoy what it's going to be like to meet D'Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson and Buddy Hield. I've heard great things about Buddy and D'Anthony from my people in Philly who covered them. Even from a coach over there in Philly who I have a relationship with, great guys. So it'll be interesting. And, you know, hopefully we got some big name player coming who we just don't know yet.
Or a big name player that is willing and able to emerge.
Yeah.
Like Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, maybe that. I do not want to cover a playing team next year.
Well,
2 years in a row, this
I hate to break it to you, Jay.
It's been so boring.
It's kind of looking that way. And in fact, that might be the ceiling of this roster. I don't know. Like I think there are definitely ways for them to improve, or to kind of, you know, look different than last year. But I also think that part of the hope of next season is that other teams take significant steps back that were in front of them. And we highlighted this yesterday, the fact that I don't think the Clippers are going to be as good. I don't think the Lakers are going to be as good. In fact, the Suns might implode depending on what happens. And if Kevin Durant can't stay healthy and play as damn good basketball as he did for another 75-ish games like he did last year, you know, like there's a lot that could go wrong in Phoenix. So there's a few teams that could take a step back that were in front of the Warriors last year, which, you know, if they're not, like, if they win 46 win, if they win 46 games next year, I do think that possibly could put them in position to get out of either the play-in or maybe even be a 6 seed.
Yeah. I mean, look, like they were good, like from a record standpoint.
It was almost like people did, like, it didn't feel like they won 46 games last year.
No, they didn't. The West was just so deep. But like I said, I don't think the West will be as good this year. I get DeJounte Murray came over to the West from Atlanta, but I think the Suns and the Clippers are definitely trending down, and I think the Lakers are, at the very least, just neutral. but I actually think they're trending down a little bit too. Not to the same, not at the same rate as Phoenix and LA Clippers, but the Lakers are trending down. And so I think the Warriors have an opportunity to make some ground up on at least the Clippers and the Suns. And it's not a whole lot of ground because those teams weren't that far in front of Golden State last year. I think Memphis will be better. And New Orleans, wait and see. I got to wait and see what they do
with Ingram.
With Ingram. But I guess on paper, there's no denying what DeJounte Murray is an upgrade, of course.
Yeah, I mean, they also lost Valanciunas. Yeah, I thought he was a good big for him.
Where is he? Washington now, right?
That contract is still perplexing to me.
Got it.
Like, I almost, like, D'Anthony Melton is making more money next year than Jonas Valanciunas. And Jonas Valanciunas was a starting center for a team that is probably a Zion Williamson injury away from making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it and really their entire team is dependent on Zion. Like, if he is healthy and he plays as well as he did last season, and he takes a step forward, I think they can be good. But Zion's also a big injury risk.
That's his biggest. His body just fails him.
Yeah, and if he plays 35 games, like he kind of has the majority of his early NBA career, then I don't also see a reason why the Warriors couldn't be better than the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah. Same here. I agree. New Orleans is a huge wild card. And even, like, I like DeJounte Murray, but I'm not sure I love to fit him and CJ McCollum next to each other. It kind of reminds me of, like, Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. Good, don't get me wrong, but, like, yeah, two undersized guards. I guess DeJounte Murray isn't undersized, per se. He's 6'5", but I don't know. I don't know. I don't see that combo, and it doesn't jump off the screen to me.
No, and I'm not really sure what they do with McCollum now, who's also owed big money. I mean, yeah, I think the West is, I don't know. I don't think there's going to be 5 50-win teams in the West next year. And that helps the Warriors. The Warriors also are a potentially injury-prone team. You know, they are very dependent on, obviously, Curry, and I think even Draymond. But I also feel like they're deeper than they were last year. You know, I think the last domino that has to fall for me again is Wiggins, because I think they're able to get better and have other players improve and step up if he's no longer on the team. The question is how they do it, and if they're able to, because we've also found out this offseason that a reason why the Warriors haven't been able to swing is not because they're not walking to the plate, but it's because they're getting intentionally walked. Like, teams aren't willing to pull the trigger with him.
Right.
The Clippers wouldn't deal for Paul George. Otherwise, he'd be here and he'd be paid $220 million.
That would be so fun.
I was like the guy that I wanted the most this offseason. I don't know about you, but it was Jimmy Butler. Like, of the gettable players, Jimmy Butler was the guy that I really wanted, even over Paul George.
Get reservations about his body. He's hurt a lot now.
He is, but he's also, wherever he's gone, his first season has been able to help them win.
Yeah, that's true.
But he's also 35.
Trust, don't get me wrong. I love Jimmy Butler as a player. I love him. I don't know. I wasn't into it. I would rather have Paul George than Jimmy Butler.
I don't think either of them are perfect. Like, I mean, I would be probably, I don't even know if I'd be more inclined to pay Paul George, because he also has had an injury history.
They're both old. They're both old.
That's the point.
Four years max deal makes me uncomfortable for either. So, but you have to do it to get them. You just have to do it to get them. So,
and the Warriors were willing to do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, Jimmy Butler, that's just, and apparently he's kind of, they're kind of getting sick of him over there, management.
Which is interesting as to why they would not try to trade him. Like, by all accounts, he's just going to go back to Miami. He's going to compete, and then he'll become a free agent. So, you know, that's also one of the reasons why I have not been a fan of any of the remaining moves the Warriors swinging for. And even Paul George, to some extent, I had reservations about paying him. It was because I do think there is room to still compete this season for the postseason. I think they can make the playoffs as currently constructed. And I also think they keep their options open for next offseason if somebody else becomes, or even if someone becomes available at the deadline. You know, they might not be able to get Lauri Markkanen now, but they might be able to get him at the deadline. And as we saw with Dallas, they were able to be aggressive, and that was a big reason, Daniel Gafford to P.J. Washington, that they were able to make a run and get to the finals.
Yeah. You know, I mean, deadline deals are always interesting, and you never know who can emerge all of a sudden. Someone can get in a falling out with their team. Someone can get injured on a team where a team just decides to, you know what, we're going to unload this other guy. There's never a dull moment in the NBA, so it's not like Mike Dunleavy has to make a move this week or is over. You know, it's a long offseason. Maybe they play a few summer league games and they're like, you know what? We actually need this. Vegas summer league is another huge week in the NBA where all the GMs are down there. All the owners are down there, at least for part of it.
Yep.
And Vegas summer league begins on the 12th, I think. 12th or the 13th. So
there's also going to be a lot of people there because of the Olympics and that team training down there.
100%. Vegas is going to be crazy in a couple of weeks. I wish I could go down there, and I would have been down there if it wasn't for my ankle. It's just a lot going on. So I can't go down there this year, but Vegas is going to be nuts. Vegas is going to be nuts this year. USA training camp. Who's on that USA roster that Steph can recruit?
That actually is a good question. And let me bring up the roster real fast.
Is Paul George on that roster? No. He didn't make it, did he?
Nope.
Yeah, Paul George didn't make it. So obviously is Jaylen Brown on it?
Embiid is on it. Jaylen Brown is not. I know that Jason Tatum is.
I mean, he's not going anywhere.
No. Dude, $314 million.
Yeah, that's just... That's the market.
I know. Well, that's why I'm talking about, like, I don't think Kuminga's a $200 million player. I also didn't think that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum were $300 million players. Maybe Tatum more than Brown, but they're Brown champions. Was the finals MVP.
Yeah, they're champions. They're going to get that. And then next year, Tatum's the highest paid player in NBA history. And then next year, it's going to be somewhere else. It's going to be Luka. You know, it's like the NFL. Who's the highest paid player ever? Isn't it like Jared Goff or something now?
Actually, I think it's Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, it's Trevor Lawrence.
That's the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
That's just how it works. That's just how it works.
All right, so here's the 12 on the roster. Actually, I think this is a good question. 888-957-9570 is the number. If Steph Curry's going to go recruiting on the USA men's Olympic basketball team, which again starts its practice, I think today or tomorrow in Las Vegas.
I think it's tomorrow.
Steve Kerr is also, of course, the head coach. Who would you like to see him try to recruit? So LeBron, KD, Tatum, AD, Embiid, Booker, Halliburton, Adebayo, Ant, Holiday, Kawhi.
Booker. I'm going realistic. Booker would be the guy for me.
I think I'm with you.
Because you got to be realistic. Like, obviously, you can't say Jason Tatum.
Yeah, based on who's actually, gettable. Like, oh, well, in that case, Ant.
Right.
Let me get Anthony Edwards.
Right. So, I would say Booker. I can see the Suns. I could see if Steph and him colluded and Booker goes back to Phoenix and is like, look, I don't want to play here anymore and I want to go to Golden State, make it happen. Yeah, I mean, the Suns are in luxury tax hell right now.
And they're going to be in the second apron, not just this year, but also next year.
They have the highest payroll in the NBA. They need a restart because they're not going to win a championship in the next 2 years. They're just not.
They might not win a playoff series.
You're like Bradley Beal is the guy you're banking on. He's shown us who he is throughout his career. He's not really a winning player. He's probably the most overpaid player in NBA history. I think I said that to you yesterday. Come on, Steph. Get with Booker. Oh, man. Can you imagine if Booker came here and was the starting shooting guard after him and Clay got into it?
Oh, yeah. That'd be unbelievable.
Oh, man.
Well, he's also, look, I mean, everybody, I think a big reason people are on board with Markkanen is because he's 27. Like, Booker's in the midst of his prime, too.
Booker's so good.
Booker's nasty.
He played in the finals, too.
I know people kind of feel it. Look, I don't know why there's just this idea of labeling players as, like, overrated. I feel like a lot of people attribute that to Devin Booker, and I don't know why. Like, every time I watch him play, I'm kind of looking for something to nitpick.
He's a bit of a whiner. It is off-putting to people. There's so many.
His game's not super physical, but he's just smooth. Like,
no, he's good.
He has an effortless game.
No, I just think he's perceived as a baby. And a little soft because he's always whining. Remember that video that went viral like years ago? He was complaining about getting double teamed during pickup, and Joakim Noah was there. Was like, dude, shut up. We're going to double you because we want to stop you. Like, shut up. Then there's so many screenshots and videos you'll see on Twitter of him barely getting touch, and he's acting like he's getting shot with an AK-47 in the back. So I think because of that, he has gotten a perception that he's soft and he's a complainer. So I think that's really why you hear some of that stuff. But let's make no mistake about it. That man is one of the top 10 basketball players walking planet Earth. He is so good.
And he's also, you know, in a situation like that, I don't think Booker is as great of a point guard. He could take steps forward, but I think they asked him to do a little bit too much last year.
Oh, let's just get on ball Steph. Steph, point guard, handles the ball. He can do it.
I mean, I've been in on him since, I think it was his first playoff series where he sent the Lakers home, and he had like almost 50 in the elimination game against LeBron.
He played in the NBA Finals. He's battle-tested too. I was surprised actually, they lost that final.
And I'm looking at it right now. He had multiple 40-point games in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, he's very good. Like, you don't got to sell me on him. He's very good. Yeah, that would be the guy if you're talking about realistic. And none of these are that. All of these are far-fetched. Let's get that straight. All of these are far-fetched. But when you look at the roster and you can pinpoint a couple people where I could see how you get there, for me, it's Booker.
Based on the guys that the Warriors have gone after and have kind of been connected to, I know it might sound a little far-fetched, but stick with me. I think Kawhi Leonard would be the guy to me that's the most attainable.
Yeah, that's another guy.
Of the 12 on the USA roster.
That's actually a guy who I threw out a couple of days ago to Mark when I was like, it's going to be a guy nobody has been talking about who gets traded. And I say Kawhi. Kawhi might look around and be like, no more Paul George. Like, I want out too. But Kawhi's home. So I think Kawhi's content in the fact he's not going to go ring chase. He's playing in his hometown and he's cool.
I'll make the case for it on the other side. Who do you think of the 12 members of the Olympic roster? If Steph Curry's out there recruiting, if Steve Kerr's out there in Las Vegas recruiting starting tomorrow, who would they recruit? Who is realistically attainable on Team USA to become potentially a running mate with Steph Curry? We'll get into that on the other side as we roll on here. 888-957-9570 is the number. That's Jason Dumas. My name is Evan Giddings. We're back after this on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.